教えて愛を生むこの世界美しいことがあふれて最悪なこともあふれてるみんなは信じて生きている素敵な世界を生きるって一生懸命生きているそういう人がもっとも美しい
Hello, you're listening to the Taku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
And we're from the TakuSpirit.com website, where you can go for all of our anime, new and old, great community, the form links at the top, social media links on the right side, and all that good stuff. And yes, today is an episode, a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you because it's important to us, and then dive into our community and answer some questions from our community members, which are kind of slacking on getting us questions.
I know, right?
It's like they don't want us to do this no more?
I'm guessing.
I guess we're canceling discussional podcast episodes. Nobody wants to ask us questions anymore. Or
I figured they were.
We've been doing it for so long, they're like, we don't know any more questions to ask.
I thought maybe they were just all sending you all kinds of the secret questions that I don't ever see them. So
I've been getting emails, yes. But I think the rate of emails about is equal to the post. So like two. Yay. But no, that's fine. If people don't have questions, that's fine. It's just something that helps us kind of create discussion and provide something for you. But it's not required.
Sob. I think it's required.
It's required. If you want to listen to our podcast, you will give us questions. So anything interesting this week?
Not really. It's been kind of... I tried a couple of new games and was a little disappointed with them. So... Yeah.
I thought you were enamored. That's why you wouldn't come in here to watch shows. Or either that or you were trying to give me space for Final Fantasy. I don't know.
That was mostly it.
Yeah, that's your excuse. It's like, oh, I wanted you to play Final Fantasy. No, instead, Andrew's watching Beastars. I'm sitting there waiting for him, and I'm just watching Beastars. And as I've kind of alluded to before, it's like... You start watching that show, it's like you cannot stop watching it.
I did get that.
He said that he was asking me before we started recording. He's like, well, I thought you were going to do the review for today, and I was kind of holding my statements. It's more effective like, no, I think after watching that show, I really want Chris to watch it too.
I already wiped it out.
You watched the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we'll do a review after this. It was really good. I mean, did you enjoy it?
I was a little, and then I was saving it for the review.
Well, I mean, you can give your nutshell.
I was a little disappointed.
We don't know when we're actually going to post that review.
I was a little disappointed at the end.
Well, there's a second season coming.
I can't agree. It's one of those shows. I thought the freaking hen was hilarious. I busted up laughing. So
I was like, I was rolling my eyes like, oh, here's going to be some stupid side story thing. And like, oh no, I really enjoyed it.
The hen was too funny, but no, overall, it is a story that you just kind of just get sucked up into, and you just kind of go and go and go and go. But yeah, the ending, and I think that's mostly because it's the second season. There was at least one big old huge question mark that just got left out in the open. They started with it and then never got around to talking about it.
We can talk about it. So yeah, I guess look forward to that review. I don't know, sometime next year. Because Andrew's still not getting the podcast post up in midweek because, honestly, it's been really crazy with the virus thing going on. I'm thankful that I have work, but at the same time, it's making work very difficult because being in the procurement industry, you have to procure things that nobody has available or it's under-available, there's too much demand, or there's just no freight. It's a huge, huge thing that is taking my mind from doing the podcast during the week, so... Hopefully, eventually. But yeah, look forward to that. But I mean, like I said, just because it might take a while to get the review up there, I want people to know it is a good show that I really enjoyed. So check that out. I'm glad that you binged through it. Then we can do a review after this. So that's good. That's good. But yeah, I've just been playing Final Fantasy VII. I've beat it. I'm like halfway through hard mode through the entire chapters. Thoroughly enjoy it. It's actually really wonderful how well they did with that. I am with a lot of people where I'm really mixed on the extra thing that they added to the whole story, so I will just leave it as that and say that I can see where it could be really cool, and I can also see where it could really be bad, so we'll see with that one in, I don't know, 15 years when all three are out, if they do three. I'll make most people are thinking it's going to be three, but hopefully the next one doesn't take too long to get around. Then we'll really get an idea of what they're planning on doing with it. So, but yeah, visually beautiful. Combat system is fantastic. There's a few frustrating bosses, but, and I'm a little frustrated by the fact that it doesn't really lend itself to being, like most of those old JRPGs, you could basically get your characters if you wanted to and just build them to like overpowered levels. It doesn't really lend itself to that, so... I mean, it does technically for the easy mode or the normal mode, but not really so much the hard mode. So you can... Even if you max everything out, you can get your butt kicked still, so... Which I guess was like the thing with the ultimate weapons and all that kind of stuff, so the weapons...
Well, I'm really curious as to... You had brought up the point, and I didn't even think about the idea of... How are they going to handle in-game going into the next game? How is that going to be moving over?
Somebody brought up a funny idea, and I think it was Maximilian Dude on Twitch. I've been watching a lot of because he's really fanatic about it. The thought is when you first start the next part, Yuffie shows up and steals all your material and stuff. Reset.
That would be epic.
A forced reset. Because she stole some materia from it, didn't she?
Yeah. She steals it. But that's it. That's like nearly in the third disc or at the end, maybe halfway through the second disc. I don't remember. It's been so long. But yeah, because she comes in before you go to the, before you meet Catsaith. So yeah, I guess.
Catsaith had a cameo.
Did he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a very brief, not, you know, interaction or anything like that, but I thought that was kind of odd that he showed up.
Now, I just random throwing it out there is I kind of was thinking maybe, and this is, I know that they're going to get so much crap for doing it, but what if they were to scale, go from, you max it out at 100, scale that down to 1?
Well, thing is, you can only get to level 50, so it can easily have the next part be up to 100. Or 99 or something. Because it wasn't the original 99 max.
Oh, yeah. Most every one of them do that.
Yeah, really, really do enjoy it. Still have quite a bit to tackle with, you know, doing all the hard mode stuff, finishing that. The last VR mission for Bahamut, I did him once and he kicked the crap out of me, so I know I had to level up a little bit. So, or get my materia maxed out. I was only like level 40, so... watched Maximilian Dude solo him with Cloud, and I was like, that dude is... crazy. I don't have the patience to spend like almost 2 hours sitting there just beating my head against a boss trying to figure out, you know, memorizing everything like I used to, which was really the mentality of it. Like back in the day, you just kept going in there until you completely memorized everything, and then you were able to do it, like, you know, Ninja Gaiden and stuff like that.
There was doing Sephiroth in, I want to say, Kingdom Hearts. That was absolutely destroying. That is like heart destroying, but it was very much
heartless destroying.
Yeah, but beating it was definitely quite the you know, notch on the belt. Going, yeah, I did that.
Well, that's the frustrating thing, is I don't get that feeling anymore, and I think that's why I don't. I guess as I've gotten older, I don't find challenge to be that fun anymore because. Right. And I think it's
I just find
because,
it annoying and I just shut it off.
I get frustrated. I start getting really angry. And then the problem is that most people say I like the challenge because when I finally complete it, I feel this huge sense of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. I don't get that feeling.
I don't get that.
When I finally beat it, I go, finally, moving on.
That was
on.
Annoying.
Yeah. I don't get a sense of, yes, I did it. And that's what really sucks is I can't find that feeling anymore. And that's what I think frustrates me most about most JRPGs, is they always have that problem where the ending bosses always overstay their welcome. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved Gravity Rush so much, and I was absolutely thrilled when they made a sequel of it. And when I play that sequel, love it to death, until the last boss. Takes forever. And Final Fantasy VII had the same problem. It feels like, I had this one session, it was like 10:30 at night, and I just get past this one part, and I'm like, okay, let me see what's up this next part before I go to bed. Literally from that point all the way into the next point that your characters are standing still and you're able to move them around and you're not in combat and you can go in and save was like 2 hours. It was a boss, followed by a boss, followed by a sequence, quote unquote, with a semi-boss, and then a bunch of cutscenes all throughout that. It was like 2 hours and I was finally... I was just yelling at the screen, like, just stop, let me save, so I can go... Of course, I could have just, you know, rest mode, but I was too afraid of my... Maybe the rest mode might mess up, and I'll lose my save. I was afraid of letting the autosave work its progress, and it was frustrating. It's like, don't overstay your welcome.
I had, I was getting really excited. I was playing a newer game that came out recently on the Switch. I decided to go ahead and get it on the computer instead. And I got to it like I told you, it's basically an anime version of Darkest Dungeon. I was really intrigued by Darkest Dungeon a while back, and getting an anime version was just so much more exciting for me. And it's a really brutal game. And the frustrating part about it was I had gotten to a certain point and it had just... The game is so daggum brutal that you can be like first level and you get hit really hard and you have no way of healing. And then randomly, well, okay, plus rules because you have bleeding effect. And so this character dies and there's no return to that character. And I was like, okay, shut down. I have no patience for this.
Well, that's like the Demon Souls and stuff like that. I don't think I'll ever touch them just because of that. Even with Shadows Dies Twice, was that the name of the subtitle for it from last year? Sekiro? Really, yeah. Badly want to play it because I love Tenchu. Of course, Tenchu was stupidly hard too, if I remember correctly, and I just kind of beat my head against the wall playing that game. But it was like it's essentially they were doing Tenchu. But it's also Dark Souls-ish, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm not playing that game.
Yeah,
because I can't. Again, I don't have the patience anymore.
They were mentioning a bunch of Dark Souls, mentioning in a lot of the Darkest Dungeon and this one. It's like, okay, I don't understand how I do know that Dark Souls is brutal, but I didn't know that's
hard, yeah.
Why now Dark Souls is, I guess, a genre now, and so this is.
Yeah, anything that's difficult is supposed to be. It's funny because, like, well, why wouldn't they? Well, I understand that Dark Souls has also the element of the bonfires or whatever element also. So sometimes when they say it's Dark Souls-ish, it's usually the idea that when you die, you like leave all your stuff behind, and you go back to the bonfire, and you have to go back and get your body kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But they also kind of reference it as something that's punishingly hard. And it's like, well, if it's punishingly hard, just go back to the Ninja Gaiden reference. Like, it's a Ninja Gaiden-ish game. Why does it have to be Dark Souls that came way after that? Is because this one's now punishing and it's fresh in everybody's mind, so it's easy to reference. But they still call things Metroidvanias, and it's like, well, people still know what that is.
Why not say Resident Evil? Resident Evil is pretty brutal.
Meh.
No?
Meh.
Okay. Maybe, I just remember stupid things flying through windows and destroying me, so.
That was just something that jump scares. But yeah.
Nemesis I hated Nemesis.
He was such a pushover in 3. It was like, wow, he didn't really show up much. I guess they got... And that was a funny thing, because when 2 Remake came out, I was like, why do they have Mr. X? That's Nemesis. Why would they do Nemesis? Because then if they do a 3, that's not going to be the same thing. And then sure enough, when Nemesis is announced, it's like, but you already did the Nemesis with Mr. X, so it's going to kind of... Is he going to be in there more? No, he's in there less. So it's like, okay, well, technically, Resident Evil 2 did a better job of Nemesis than... 3 did. So I don't know what they're thinking, but I guess that was just a different company.
I didn't know that they had different names. I'm sorry, Mr. X, I didn't like.
And 2 Remake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, I always assumed, associated his name as Nemesis. I didn't know that. I only toyed around a little bit with number 3. I actually played 2. 1 and 2 are the only 2 that I really played. I mean, I did play a bit of the, Waiting Guys 5, I think is what
4.
It was. 4.
Waiting Guys.
Waiting Guys.
Well, they were announced that number 4 is being remade, so we'll see how that one turns out. You knew they were going to do 4.
Mm-hmm.
Just it was just a given they were going to do 4.
I do need to do the remakes. It's always been one of those things that it's always been in the back of my mind. I need to get through all those games.
I kind of want to play 1 again. But then Final Fantasy 7 came out, so I had to play that. Which really sucked, because I ended up buying Final Fantasy 7 twice. So, which I think a lot of people did. So if you see those sales numbers being really high, I think it's because a lot of people are like me. They bought it physically. It was saying it wasn't going to come in until the next week. And it's like, buying it digitally. I have to play it at 11 o'clock, of course, for Central Time. So, anyways, Crossing Voice doing their maid campaign thingamajiggy. So I got Maid Taiga. You did too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Third roll? What'd you get it on?
I got it fourth roll.
Ah, beat you there. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow.
Well,
I technically
got it before you. You just got the lower roll.
Still got the lowest roll.
Yeah,
that's all that matters.
You got the lowest roll.
Limited tickets are limited. That's the more important thing. You can roll
whatever
you want.
I got it before you, though. I got it that morning. You got it when you woke up, like, 3 hours later.
Kuroko is her name?
That the other one? She's when is she coming out?
Girl. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay.
Well, today, if you're listening to this on the day this is released.
I've got 4 limited tickets waiting for her. And I've got 1,200 that I can't use on her, I'm sure.
She looks pretty awesome.
Can I use the regular Migas on her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
It's just really expensive.
Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I can. I just got a whole. I got 1,200 for making 60.
Nah, I got you. Yeah, just. I did that with. I don't know if it was Miku. I used quite a bit to. No, it was. Yeah, I did both Shauna and Miku. I used a lot of my regular Migo. Yeah, they don't last very long. Like I said before, it's like all that's about the tickets. You have to get the limited tickets. That's the only efficient way of doing it. But yeah, they're pretty scarce, unfortunately. And then Fate Go is doing the Fate Apocrypha event, which really sucks because it's timed raids, which really is stupid because you have to be playing at a certain time, which makes no sense to me because the first time they did the raids, it was during when I was working. And it's like, what the hell? I can't even do the raids because I'm working. I don't understand that mentality, but
is this the demon reroll?
Demon reroll.
The
Fate Apocrypha?
Oh, is it the Fate Apocrypha? Oh,
and,
yeah, that's right.
And Fate Grand Order?
I think I'm done. I think I'm like this close to yanking that game off my iPad.
I'm not getting rid of it, but I do play it a lot less. Like, the last event that they did was, I think, the Journey to the West rerun, and I barely did any of it.
It
was, like,
a
huge grind fest for that stupid event. It was, like, everything. There was a ton of stuff in the shop, and I'm like, I'm going to get the stuff that I got a low amount of, and then I'm done.
I literally log in one time in the morning to grab my stuff, shut it off, play Crossing Void.
Yeah. Well, Crossing Void is kind of a time sink, because you get... Thankfully, you have a lot of it doesn't seem like you have much AP, but you do technically have a lot of AP. You just have a lot of stuff to do, I think. Mm-hmm. Stuff not requiring your energy. And I think that a lot of that stuff just requires a lot of time. Plus, there's just so many things you have to upgrade. I think the only thing that frustrates me about Crossing Void is the scaling from the point you reach 6 stars to your weapons. And your weapons is like the only way that your character can build up after that point. And it seems like it seems like a huge incline, because I'll go and I'm like, I got my weapons and they're almost maxed out. And I'm like, man, my characters are pretty much maxed. I don't have really much to do with this main team anymore. And then I'll go on to the, what's it called? It's the thing where you can create a room and the other people join and you go fight a enemy that's really strong.
I haven't tried that yet.
Oh, that's like the easiest way to get weapon tokens.
Oh, yeah?
But I'll go in there, and like these two people will join, and their characters are doing like 80,000 damage single target, not even a climax skill, and my character's doing like 30,000. I'm like, I apparently still suck. I don't know what to do with my character anymore. Again, because I think that they're just focusing purely on getting their weapons.
I did 100 and something K with the two that I was telling you about, that one cross skill Rabbit Girl and the Basketball Girl. They have a technique in the
maybe Inju, Black Bullet,
yeah. Inju and Black Bullet,
the girl
and
from
Rokubu,
yeah. Don't know her name.
Tomoko, I think. Anyway, they've got a cross skill that's really, really stinking strong, and I was in the place with the towers, and you go through each one, the expedition
Pinnacle or whatever,
the expeditions.
Oh, okay.
And I was up in there, and you know how you can get your buffs. I buffed them up, and I got them they were doing God's levels of damage. It was crazy.
Yeah, my point is that getting like 90,000 damage without any buffs,
right?
Just a single attack. It's like, what in the world? And then a lot of them are just Alice and Kirito. That combination, and they, like I said, I think they just maxed out all their stats and awakened them and everything. And it's just like the scaling difference there is insane, which makes me hate the mirror. I've never liked games that have a gacha system and a two-player PvP. It's like, it's just whoever has the better characters doesn't make any sense. So, at least they can't control their characters when you do the PvP. But, yeah, that's about everything that's going on right now. Thanking Final Fantasy VII for keeping me mentally busy, because I was joking, or I was mentioning to Chris, it's like, I think we need to kind of passingly, the idea that, you know, watching the shows again, and I think the last time we got together, it was a couple shows. I was trying to check to see if there was next episode, and it was like, there's no next episode. Well, the problem is that I don't know if we're going to really have much shows to watch right now.
I know, I was thinking about that, too.
I guess I could skip to it right now, but there is a lot, and I have a list of a lot of the shows that are kind of the shows that we're currently watching. Yeah, there's some oddball shows I don't really know much about, but... The Millionaire Detective is delayed until July 16th. Promised Neverland is releasing next year on January 2021. The regular Magic High Season 2 has been delayed to October. Major second season, which is airing right now, is rebroadcasting and is delayed. A Pottery Renmon is delayed. Food Wars 5th Place delayed. Diaries of Our Day at the Breakwater is delayed. No Guns, No Life 2nd Core. Certain Scientific Railgun Episode 3 is delayed. We don't know what's going on with that one. And like I said, I don't know if this is going to affect even more shows. Which is funny, because I was kind of considering... And, of course, it's all related to COVID, which is perfectly fine. I think I mentioned that last time we had a discussion on podcast. Don't get us wrong here. I'm perfectly fine with them going, hey, we have a COVID issue. We can't have people inside of a room together, you know, drawing stuff. Even if they draw at home or whatever and they have the equipment, there's a lot of interactions there that has to come into play for that. You have a lot of surface areas that are going from people to people. It's a very dangerous thing. It's going to cause delays. And so I'd rather them not do it than be put in danger. It's just brought up more in the idea that they were able to circumvent it for a while, but now it's really becoming an issue where they just cannot produce anime anymore. And a lot of the shows, like we mentioned before, Snafu and Sword Art, a lot of those stuff just completely didn't start. So the question that's coming up is, what are we going to do? Again, I don't have an issue with it, but at the same time, we kind of have to find content to do. And a lot of our, well, not really a lot of our seasonal podcasts are related to the show itself. We have a music episode. We already covered that. We have a first impressions. I think we'll probably still do first impressions just so that we can get that out of the way before the wait. Because it's the shows that are still continuing on, we still want to cover them, but...
You can work on our shonen guests.
It's a good half of the shows this season that are kind of announced, and I'm waiting to find out when the other ones are going to be announced to be delayed. And I think the only ones that are able to continue are either... Maybe they still have a lot that they've already produced, and so they're not going to hit that stopping point yet, whereas some other ones that are probably working week to week to get the episodes out... They're running into the issue already. Is it that there's a lot of shows that have overseas production that is still continuing, so they're able to continue on? Because, I mean, that's a big thing that's been happening in anime recently, is that a lot of stuff is being outsourced to China.
Right.
So if China's not having that issue, caring about that issue as much, they have less care for their workers, you can see them still producing. So... I'm curious to see what the full scale of the effects of COVID will be for the animation industry for the next coming months, just because, again, a lot of stuff just being cut out completely.
Well, we can discuss this if you'd like. But I was just waiting until just before the questions to talk about that.
Got to read it.
It was just in case we wanted to fill in a little bit of time. It was just basically... How do you think this affects the anime industry as a whole?
And that's what I mean. It's really we're not really going to know until the next coming 2 weeks when we find out just how many of these shows are because Japan has moved to having a national awareness of it. They before it was very district based, and now they've basically set the entire nation under the understanding that this is something that is an effect to it.
Right.
And so you're going to have a lot more of these studios that just cannot function.
Right. I'm talking about far in the future, after this is all pretty much passed and over. How do you think that, I mean, wargame it out in your head, how do you think the anime industry as a whole changes from here on? Because
none.
You don't think that that's going to change the way they do business in general?
No.
You Why think they're change? All going to go back to being in a in their studios and doing it all from there?
Yeah.
You don't think that they would change? I mean, mangakas already do that pretty much, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, because they're the only creator.
Huh?
They're the only creator. They make what they make, and they send it to the editor.
Why couldn't you, if you were to change over? They're already pretty much digital based as it is right now.
Right.
Why couldn't they do the panels at home?
Because you need oversight.
That's the only thing that caught me.
You have you have directors, you have screenwriters. They're all looking over the shoulders of the animators constantly.
Right. Supervision, I will give you.
You have the anime directors. They have to be watching each one of those people as they work to make sure they're doing the proper job or they're filling in the betweens properly.
I'm not going to argue that point because I do agree with you. That was the only thing in my head that I could see as far as a stop point. But there's also, I mean, you could have an apprentice for a short time, get to the point where you trust them, and then start to work from there over the through online.
Yeah, but you have to take consideration that what's the big issue that people have with animation in general right now? Underpaid workers. These are people that come in, they sit down, they do the in-betweens or whatever, the animation, the drawings, all that kind of stuff, the paintings maybe, and then they leave. So you see that to give you an example of what you're kind of prescribing to me is that you have an animator comes in, they go, hey, I want to be an animator for the studio. They go, okay, sure. Here's a I forget what the name of the tablets are. Here's a Nikon or whatever, the little tablets. Here's this. Here's a computer. Here's some equipment. Here's the panels that you need to do the in-betweens for. Go home and do this. I'll remote into your computer to watch you as you work and leave the phone on. They're not going to do that for everybody.
No,
you have,
like I said,
30 people inside this one room.
There would be an apprenticeship time frame. But
it's not going to happen, I don't think. I mean, because we don't even know the turnaround time for them. I would assume there's quite a bit of turnaround.
I mean,
it's different for something like Kyoto Animation. If you present that for something like Kyoto Animation, that makes sense to me because a lot of them are trained and built up for that point. But with a lot of these studios, these are people that are just coming in, doing the drawings, and going home. They're not going to get tablets and remote access and all this kind of stuff for each one of these people. I mean, that's a huge undertaking, even for companies that I deal with.
I'm totally lost as to what... I'm saying there's an apprenticeship time frame. You train them up and get them to a point where you feel comfortable with them going home. I'm not saying a newbie off the street, throw a computer at them and send them home. I agree with you. That is not even viable in any way, shape, or form. That's what I was saying. That was my stop point. This is the one point where I could not get past that. Is at some point you're going to have to train these people. You can't just throw a computer at them and say, go home and make anime.
Right, but the problem still remains. There's too much communication that's happening on a regular basis. There's too much, okay, well, you're done with this motion, these in-betweens, now work on this in-between. And they have to communicate, well, okay, what is the actual motion here? I can see these key points that I need to fill in. Is there any kind of motion to the clothing, all that kind of stuff? They're having to communicate what that flow is for that animation. Then you have you have to talk to the storyboard writer, find out what he thinks of the situation, find out if there is wind in the air at the moment. There's just too much communication to happen on a regular basis. What would they be writing by themselves with no communication?
Let me go from my point of view, because I do see that things are going to have to change. What this has done this across the board. I mean, we've already got one of the, when I was going through the news things, I already noticed I think they were announcing one of the voice actresses. She's doing an online concert, and this is already something that we're seeing here in the West. Is we're seeing our musicians and actors and actresses, they're all going online.
Learning how to do webcams.
Yeah, they've learned how to do webcams.
No, they have not learned. They are learning. Like the worst webcams ever. Like they went out of Office Depot and bought the cheapest piece of junk they could.
The funny thing is that the way that we consume our entertainment is shifting. And there's no denying that. And this is why this kind of got stuck in my head. And like I said, the one of the voice actresses becoming doing an online concert, things like that are kind of the I don't want to say the canary in the coal mine. It's kind of like the pioneers. They're already stepping out and saying, how do we change the way we're doing this? And this is something that I was talking to one of the guy from Blockpunk I was mentioning. What you're not seeing is this is the future. Getting this to your customer base is the future. How we do that, I don't know. We missed out on it, obviously. Now it's already out there, and people are already experimenting, trying to find a way to do this. And when that happens, you're going to start seeing other things starting to shift in how they handle things. The way I see the anime industry, like I said, the supervision thing is the one thing I could not figure out. That's why I've got it wrote down there. Supervision and apprenticeship. I don't know how to get around that. But everything else I see is already happening. I mean, you have major corporations that are already setting up meetings through, what is that, Zoom? Nobody likes Zoom right now, so.
Well, every single one of those groups are just being destroyed right now.
But
there's not a single remote team meetings type service right now that's not just completely destroyed.
But one of the things about when something is tried out, you stress test it. You find its flaws, and then you fix it. It's not going to be perfect at first. And what's going to happen is it's all going to get better. Eventually, even this stuff will be handled. You'll have directors able to stand over and watch an animator do it in every one of his clips. Stuff like that is going to naturally happen. Granted, it's not perfect, but I do see a lot of this stuff changing in the way that we're it's being produced. And one of the nice things about that is I think it's going to become more efficient because you're already going to have the digital frames and everything like that. It's all going to be set up. They're all working behind the scenes. You can take better breaks. You can take care of yourself better. All that stuff is going to be in there. Is there going to be longer hours? Probably. But the point is all of that's going to be streamlined a lot better.
Well, there's several difficulties there. Yeah, like you mentioned, the supervision is the main key thing, is there's too much communication that has to happen. And then you also have to have – you're assuming that every single person that would be working for them would have the right connections with the internet to be able to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have to have a way of, you know, getting down everybody's address so you can go down and pick up every single thing from each location, each animators, you know, you have like, again, like 30 plus animators, and they have to go out there and collect every single one of the things, from each locations you have.
Collecting what?
Any kind of script. If it is digitally done, I guess they don't have to, but again, you'd have to worry about them being able to upload the imagery. And if the imagery is going to be scanned correctly, are you going to give them scanners? My main thing is that once the COVID thing goes away, they go back. There's no way, because the problem you have right now is you're saying, okay, yeah, a lot of businesses, what they did is they took all the non-essentials and they put them out remote. And then they had to build the infrastructure to be able to communicate still and still do their jobs. My company did the same thing. Now, with something like this, you're assuming that the thing is this stuff is stopping. So obviously they're not building the infrastructure to be able to handle it right now. They probably no idea how they could do that properly or efficiently. And I would assume the big reason is because communication. Now, what I'm assuming you're going with is the idea that will they go, okay, now that the COVID is kind of going away, let's figure out how we don't have people in a building anymore. I just don't see that happening.
I'm seeing it's more along the lines of...
Now, they could do it to adapt right now because they don't see it going away. But I would still see... just again, like my company and like any other company with salespeople that I've talked to literally thousands of people over the last few weeks, and all of them say the same thing. They're going to go right back to what they were doing before. There's no company going, well, that worked out great, let's just keep you remote. They're not going to do it because communication. You have to have people in a central location so communication is better, more face-to-face, and can be done quicker. Remoting, team meetings, calling people, all that stuff takes time that normally a face-to-face quick walk down the hall is instant. There's still an inefficiency to that remote access. I would love it, but I'm an introvert, so it works for me. I'm technically an introvert. I can be an extrovert when I'm actually with people, but
it's
I
funny,
prefer
there's a,
being an introvert.
It's funny. You'd be surprised how many times I've heard that on podcasts where podcasters
like,
are like,
I'm an introvert.
I'm an introvert. And everybody goes, I mean, I know I'm on a podcast. I'm the same way. I'm an introvert. I know I'm on a podcast, but
no,
I am technically an introvert.
Right. It's like to give an example, I went to a meeting with a lot of individuals for a certain thing for our company. And the moment that they had to have this whole thing where they were trying to team build. And so everybody's kind of going, who's going to walk up the front? Who's going to walk up? I'm like, I'll do it. And I walk up there and I just do it. And I come back and the guy's like, I didn't know you had that in you. And I'm like, I don't remember saying I couldn't do something like that. I just don't care to. I'm not afraid of communication and standing in front of people. It's just I prefer not.
Yeah, I don't like.
I'll do
I don't
it
like
when I need
the,
to do it.
I don't
but
like the
if
star
I,
power.
I prefer not. I just don't care. It's something that I don't have. I don't go out of my way for it. And I think a lot of introverts, they don't want to because either they're afraid of it. Or they see it as a hassle.
No, it's more along the lines of, I think it's more that we've gotten over that roadblock. We're still technically introverts, but we got past that block.
Yeah, you kind of have to when you go into the adult world. Otherwise, there's a lot of roadblocks that you run into with it. I appreciate your point, though. I think you're going to probably have some companies want to figure that out in order to survive right now. But I think my point is, like you initially said, was after this, no, I can't agree. They're going to go right back to being in a studio because there's an efficiency there that they will lose if they go, again, bring somebody in, apprentice them, pay a lot of money to train them face-to-face, then give them a lot of equipment that you have to trust that they're not going to steal, send them back off to their home, assume they have a good connection, a good phone line, all this kind of stuff to actually facilitate it and have a clean environment that they can actually work in that's quiet. There's a lot of things there. Plus, you don't get to sit down with Miyazaki with his cigarettes, his cherry cigarettes. The smell of cherry cigarettes.
Yeah, like I said, I do think some things are going to change. I don't know how much are going to change because Andrew's bringing up great points. I disagree on some of them, but it is, like I said, there is some things that I do think are going to change. And it's just a matter of, I don't know all the answers. I see things changing. I don't know what exactly is going to change. I don't have that kind of foresight.
Well, I guess, like I said, that's just more my perspective from a company that I'm dealing with that deals it with its way. And again, speaking with a lot of people over the last few weeks, being in procurement, I talked to a lot of people from different companies. And of course, I'm trying to find, different suppliers for certain things that are difficult to get. And they're all saying the same thing. Once, you know, this thing kind of goes away, everything goes back to normal. But in my mindset, yes, following this whole crisis, we will never be the same again. I do agree with that idea. I think the idea that when you, a simple thing like holding a door open for somebody, I think you're going to have pause. I think every time you grab a doorknob, you're going to have pause. You're going to wash your hands more probably. I think this will always be in our minds probably for 5 years. If this goes away within the next 5 or so months, you know, I hope within before then, we will still have the effects of it for 5 years from now, even if it doesn't come back the next year, whatever they say that there's a possibility of. I think if it doesn't come back the next year, I think it'll still stay with us for 5 years. in our minds when we deal with things. I think even then, 5 years from now, I'll probably think about that.
I'm more hopeful. I'm more hopeful that it's going to be done by the end of the month. I doubt it, but you know, I'm hopeful. Hope is different from reality. But I agree. I think this is something that's going to be a long lasting effect. This is the rest of our lives. We're always going to go back. You remember that COVID thing? You know,
yeah, it was just the same thing with the previous ones, but it's like a thing of it's, I don't, based off my experience, the communication that I have, all the companies that I have spoken to and the one that I personally deal with, this is not a, they have figured out how to function within it and they will continue to work within it by, because they figured out how to function within it. But they will all go back to normal working status once it's over. There's none of them of them that has the desire of staying with how they are functioning now, even though they have built the infrastructure to actually function and they've figured it out. And that's the same thing with the studios in Japan. They're either going to figure out how they can function while they're dealing with it, whether it's them being insanely sanitary, walking into the facility with masks on, sanitizing when walk in, having somebody sanitize every hour the entire facility, all these things they could do to function in a facility still, or if they work remotely, a la, you know, doing you know, scans and sending it in, or digital only artwork and sending it in, uploading, downloading, remote meetings, or are they going to figure out how to function remotely after the issue happens? I just don't see that happening. I see them going, okay, it's gone now. Everybody get back in the studio. Let's continue on working. That's a lot less costly than going, okay, now that this is over, let's figure out how we don't have this happen again. It's just, you're talking about a huge cost investment because something happened this one time. They'll think it's probably not going to happen again. We're pretty smart in this going forward. There won't be another COVID. Let's move on. And I think most of them don't want to think about how do we prevent this from happening again. They're going to think it's gone. Let's move on. I do like that idea because, again, me working remotely, I get a lot more done when I'm at home. And I'm sure a lot of them would enjoy that, being able to work from home, whatever. But again, I don't think there's the infrastructure there, and I don't think they want to invest in it. Because that's a huge cost that you had to kind of entail. But wow, you just took out half our podcast bringing up that.
It was one of those, I wonder if we could do that.
Probably should have been a podcast in its own, but that's
fine. I thought about that too. I was like,
As much as we argue with each other on that one, hey, look, we don't always agree. What do you think of that, people? What do you think of that one? It's a sucky thing. We always try to avoid talking about it, but I don't think it's really some topic you don't have to. Yeah, you can't really avoid it.
Yeah, it's a discussion, or it's a topic that I don't really want to, because that, like Andrew had mentioned before, this is technically we try to be the upbeat podcast, so we try not to go into down
because
stuff,
everybody can hear nothing but it on the news 24/7, and even the commercials. All the commercials now is like, shut up, you don't care. Why do you have to make this into that? Like, you just sell sodas. Stick with the soda. Tell me about the soda. I don't want to hear about what you think about it. Just give me a damn soda. Oh, gosh. There's no escapism anymore. And now my escapism is delayed. Oh, gosh. Oh. But I guess that's the other thing is like, I actually, when I read the first line there, I thought, like, you were bringing up the topic of what do we do if this stuff is delayed, and I'm like, oh, hey, here we go. I guess if come next week we realize that no episodes are updating anymore, well, there's technically Ghost in the Shell on Netflix.
Ghost in the Shell. I was going with our fairy cast. We can finally finish the fairy cast.
Finish fairy cast. Get on Bleach.
Get on Bleach.
High Score Girl is up now, so we got to watch that. I think, yeah, There's plenty to watch. It's just it kind of, again, throws a little wrench into our process because, again, every season
we're actually being forced to do ones that we've been putting off. It's kind of weird.
I wasn't putting off Beastars. I just was waiting for it to come out. But no, it's
No, I meant like the fairy tales and stuff like that.
It would drastically change our order of doing things because our process right now is when at the start of a season, it is, yeah, typically probably we're doing a discussional podcast episode just so the episodes get out. We'll do our music episode. Then we'll go into doing our first impressions. And then way down the road, that's when we do our, you know, two or three parter reviews. And then we go right back in the cycle again. So without, again, assuming that next week we don't have any shows updating anymore, that would be the key indicator that we're probably going to have, you know, all these shows being delayed off until the next season. Because they have a gap of time that they're going to air the show. If they don't get, you know, if they're delayed four show episodes, they're probably not going to finish the show in that season. They're going to put it off until the next season.
Right.
Which means that we're not going to have any shows for a good, you know, 2.5 months to watch. So would the structure then shift to, say, we watch Beastars, for example, watch Beastars that week, and then that weekend we just talk about Beastars?
Yeah. Like I said,
do an entire episode.
Catching up on a whole bunch of these shows that we've been putting off. That's what I was meaning.
So would people be okay with that? Having not every week we have one show that we talk about. I would probably do a discussional episode. If we have a topic we want to cover, we'll do that episode. But then we'll have one week. Would people be okay with a full-on episode of us just talking about one show? Full-on spoiler discussion, everything.
I don't see how
we're going to fill a whole episode.
I don't see how we can get around it. If they're, I mean,
or just posting two episodes of our backlog of reviews that we haven't posted, like Kill a Kill.
I mean, it's not like we can't put maybe two shows together, but it's at the same time. I don't
I wouldn't do that. It would be the week of doing, you know, watching that show because, yeah, it's going to be some of them being 24 episodes, possibly. Maybe having a backlog episode done in the midweek, and then that weekend we have an actual show that we watch that week and talk about it in a full length.
I don't think that we could talk about some of these shows full length. Well, yeah, that's the problem.
And that's my point. That's why I would figure dropping an episode in the middle or another backlog episode in the middle of the week, because it's going to probably be a 30 to 40 minute at the most episode. And yeah, if you get like a comedy, it's not going to be that long.
Yeah.
We have some backlog stuff that's like a comedy and doesn't take very long to review.
I mean, the way I see it, and I think that everybody's going to understand there's no real way of getting around it. And unfortunately, we can't, it's not like we're dumping and saying, okay, well, until COVID's over, we're done. I mean.
Well, it really means, like I said, we'll probably do our first impression episode still.
Yeah.
It's difficult because technically we would have an episode out there, and this is the only reason why I'm not wanting to do it, is would technically would have, what's the point in having a spring 2020 first impressions full of a bunch of shows that are probably never going to ever
continue? That's true.
What, like three shows that might actually continue on airing all the way to its completion? There's a good chance that all these shows get canceled.
Yeah.
And what's the point in doing a first impressions when it's we're basically saying this is a great show, can't wait till it's gonna conclude. I mean, that's the difficulty. There is there a point to it? So that's the struggle that I have, and that's the big question that's being brought up now for me is like, and again, that's only technically what, four podcasts this 3 month season is first impressions, and then again 2 to 3 episodes that are reviews. The rest of it's discussional podcast episodes, it's topic episodes, it's just kind of fooling around kind of episodes. So just something to think about. And my gosh, we're already 50 minutes in the episode. We haven't even started the news. We should probably start the news. But I think that is something that we wouldn't want to talk about for some time. It is something that technically needs to be addressed at this point. And again, we will still continue to bring content to you guys. How it may shift and how it may change, we'll see. I don't think it's really going to affect us too much besides, like I said, those typical seasonal episodes are not going to be as pronounced. So I guess it's not really that big of a deal. It does suck, though, because again, I want them to be safe, but it does suck when you have certain shows that I do want to see continue on and watch them, but we'll get them eventually, hopefully. So let's get the news done.
All right.
Let's get the news done. Finally, our first topic, well, technically our second topic, Arya is returning on its 15th anniversary of the release of the animated series. They are going to be producing a new theatrical film for it, and it's going to be opening in winter, hopefully. So, yeah, there's a key art out there. They definitely look different than their actual character designs. So, well, some of them look a little different than their original designs, but, yeah.
They growed up.
Yeah, maybe. They don't really look that older.
Shoot, even Hime or Maz looks bigger.
Huh?
Even Ma, the cat.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But yeah, that's...
I mean, she's a perfect example. She's practically tiny compared when standing up against the other girls, and she's almost as tall as them.
Well, she's on a step higher. She's on another stair.
That. Yeah, that's, come she's on. The stair. They've even she's got the second generation in the background.
She's on the stairs. Yeah, they don't look any different. Well, she's looking a little more older. She's small.
No, I'm talking about those girls. I don't know who they are. But yeah, I didn't even see them.
Oh, that's true. That's true. This is totally a good podcast right here.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that's all we really know. They're already casting people. But they're pretty much the same. There is a replacement for Tomoko Kawakami from the previous adaptation. So, unfortunate passing, of course. So, yeah. Look forward to that in winter. I'm sure there's certain people that in our community that will be super excited about that. The people that pushed us to watch the series to begin with. So, yeah, cool stuff there. And we have plans are already in work for a second season of Netflix Cowboy Bebop live action. Are you excited?
Yeah. I absolutely am.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Because, you know, that was like the first thing I did was watch the first season.
The first season's not out yet.
Oh, okay.
Of course, the first season was delayed because the main actor, John Cho, got an injury. And then, of course, they had COVID go down. So they had to shut down the production for it. But apparently, in discussing with executive producer Jeff Pinkner, I don't know why I'm struggling with that, Pinkner, he has teased that there is a second season already being theorized or put together. Then he also kind of teased for people, hoping that people will enjoy the awesome work of Yoko Kanno. So hopefully, that means that technically we'll have some Yoko Kanno music in there as well. So cool, I guess. We'll see. Yeah, I we'll see. Netflix is not my choice for anime adaptations, but it's one of those things that's like, how could you mess up Cowboy Bebop, though? It is probably the most Western anime ever.
How do you mess up Dragon Ball Z?
Well, hey, if you told me, hey, what could Hollywood mess up? Anything that's really anime-ish, they're going to mess up. Mm-hmm. You're not going to pull off either that quirkiness or that over-the-topness of Japanese culture that is in anime, the over-the-top Japanese stuff, the stuff that even Japanese people that aren't into anime go, yeah, that's not how we act, the Popeye effect for the Western audience. But Cowboy Bebop is very Western. It's the only one that I can think of that you could technically do a live action in the West and it not be cringy, because there's not really a lot of things that culturally shock people. Like, that's the reason why it was so successful in the West, is that people watched it and go, oh, what is this? Cool. What is this thing? It's anime? What the? That kind of effect. One thing they can mess up, though, is One Punch Man. Apparently that's getting a live action.
No.
Oh my gosh. I seen
One Punch Man there, but I didn't understand. I couldn't read the entire text, and I scanned through this a couple times. I didn't actually read that. And now you're telling me no. Just no.
I literally laughed out loud when I read this title. I was like, my mind immediately goes to, like, what would this look like on a theater screen in the West?
Just yeah. Blood and guts.
Cringy. No, not blood and gutsy, just Dragon Ball. Like, the Dragon Ball live action, that's what I see when I think of One Punch Man being done by the Western audience, or Western producers. Of course, again, apparently Jeff Pinker is involved, so apparently he's going to handle a lot of anime-related adaptations, but... Variety has reported that Sony is in developing a live-action adaptation of One Punch Man manga. Like, I can already feel the cringe. It's going to be... I don't know. We'll see.
Guy done?
Jeff Pinken? Or Pinkner? Why can't I say Pinkner? Venom and Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle films. I guess technically...
Venom probably was all right. I don't know about Jumanji. I didn't watch that one. I didn't watch either of them. Is he known for anything else?
That's just the one that everybody quotes in every article I've read is that those two, so...
I don't know. I'll give him a shot. I'm not completely opposed to it. It's just the... The problem is, like Andrew was talking about, One Punch Man is way over the top. I mean, you can try, but you're not going to be able to...
Technically, you already have one of those kind of films done over here. Was it Shazam? So is it basically going to be Shazam?
I don't know.
Like, goofy kid becomes superhero and...
Well, I go back to the
comedy superhero kind of show.
I go back to that scene that they showed on pretty much all the commercials of the Venom guy where he went and ate the one guy in the market. So, I mean, I guess he's all right at transferring panel art to real life, but I don't know. One Punch Man is very different than
writing the script, not necessarily director. I don't think they have a director listed for... The One Punch Man one. I don't think he's directing the Cowboy Bebop one, too. I think he's writing that one as well. Yeah, he's executive producer for the Cowboy Bebop one.
He's pretty much a money man, right?
Producer, yeah, technically, is usually. Not really money man. I don't know.
He gets to call the big
Western
shots.
Stuff. I don't know Western stuff, okay? I'm a Western person. I'm a weeb. I can't understand Western things. We'll see, though. Like usual, I don't see it ever actually working from the eyes of a Western creator, but in the vein of something that would be accepted in the Western audience, I guess. Unless they, again, like I've said before, my mentality is that you either completely Westernize it, like I said, with All You Need Is Kill, when they did that one with Edge of Tomorrow, I thought that was a great westernizing of it. They just took it and they did their own thing, made it completely Western. That's how I want them to do it. Same with Dragon Ball Z. Don't make an adaptation, you know, faithful adaptation of that with a Western company. Just westernize it completely and just do it. Because it's never going to work right if you have those kind of, again, goofy anime over-the-topness in there. Because it doesn't translate very well. When you have an American actor acting goofy, you know, doing a Dragon Ball Z charge-up, it's going to look cringy, no matter how you cut it. So just westernize it. And that's kind of my mentality for it, so. Yeah. Moving on. We're never going to get through all these news articles. Iwa Kakeru Climbing Girls manga is getting an anime adaptation. This one, the synopsis is, the two mangas center around girls who compete in sports climbing, particularly climbing artificially constructed walls while making full use of one's mind and body. First-year high school student Konami Kasahari discovered this sport at Hanamiya Girls High School after training her mind with puzzle games during junior high school. That makes perfect sense. Her life changed the moment she stumbled across her new school's climbing wall, which led her into the school's climbing team.
Moe Cliffhanger. I'm on board.
Moe Climbing. Yep. gonna have Moe climbing. It's that's the in right now is Moe different types of sports. Being done at Studio Blade, which I do not recognize whatsoever.
91 days.
No, it's Key Animation. Anime production, Cheating Craft.
Bunch of in-betweens.
Just Cheating Craft.
Just helpers. That's pretty much all they are.
Just Cheating Craft's the only one that they have under their own belt. So we'll see. Cheating Craft wasn't that bad. At least the first few episodes I watched of it. So that's not to say that they can't pull that off. So we'll see. We'll see. Hatsune Miku Project Diva Mega Mix Switch heads to the West on May 15th. Unfortunately, I see that it's only going to be digitally. I didn't see anything about physical. So that's an unfortunate thing, but that's kind of the normal right now. But yeah, digital only for $40. That is a cool thing, though, is it's only $40. Of course, there will be DLC packs for additional songs, just like they did in Japan. They released the game and then additional games. So essentially, we're going to get way cheaper than Japan did initially. And we have to pay the same amount for the DLCs going forward. You can pay $40. Well, technically $39.39 because that's the whole Miku Miku thing. or you could pay $59.99 and get all the DLC included with it. Each of the DLCs are $7 each. There's six of them. So
I seen it pop up on my Switch the other day. But is that what you got?
Yeah, I have the import version.
And
because I knew they weren't going to release it physically, so I bought the
import. So now is it translatable?
No. That's the physical Japanese version. You can download the English version.
I thought that they made it to where they're all, no matter what, as long as you have it.
Region free just means that you can play on it.
Right.
And doesn't mean that it has to have English on it. It just means that you can play it. When it was not region, when it was region locked, if I were to import that and put it into an American Switch, it wouldn't let you play it. Now that's region
right,
but free, you can put any game in there, but that's why you have to kind of do that little research to find out, is it going to have English options on it? I researched, Clannad has English option on it. Mm-hmm. Angel Beats has English option, which I need to buy still. Frutiger Saya has English options. But yeah, the Dragon Quest Builders, I've imported that one, didn't have English options. Some of them do, some of them don't. So you have to do your research. So if you do want a physical version of this game, you're going to have to import it. It's not going to have English options. Or just buy it digitally when it comes out. Like I said, I bought it. I imported it because I wanted to play it early. I figured it would take until like August before they release it. But apparently they're going to release it now. But I knew they weren't going to do a physical version. So I wanted to have a physical version. I'll double dip. Always do. So there you go. Cool stuff. That goes back to the whole issue is like, I miss those days with like the PlayStation where we'd buy it once and we could all play it. Mm-hmm. Switch is so restrictive. It's like only one for console. One console only. Okay, moving on. This is something I didn't even know existed, but apparently Nintendo Switch has a comic book platform.
I actually thought about bringing this up too. I actually downloaded it. I hated it because there was nothing on it.
Well, now there's stuff on it, Chris.
Yeah, there's stuff on it now.
InkyPen, the apparently comic book platform that you can have on the Switch. Apparently, Kodansha Comics and Vertical is now offering titles on there digitally, of course. It's not like you're going to have physical things coming there, but yeah. So yeah, cool stuff there. They have hundreds of favorite manga on the platform, so cool stuff. They have they show Attack on Titan, Battle Angelita, Fairy Tail, Seven Deadly Sins. What is the last one? Mission Love? Mission of Love? Is that what that is? Mission of Love? I guess it's Mission of Love.
Probably.
Cool stuff, though. Check that out if you need a... This is one of those things where it's like, I say this, but at the same time, why wouldn't you just do it on your phone or tablet? But if you don't have a phone or tablet and you have a Switch, do it. Cool stuff. And it's a subscription service, so that's probably another good thing about it. All right. So did you try it, or did you say that it just didn't have anything on it, so you didn't bother?
I have it on there. I looked at it, and I want to say that I didn't see anything worth looking at. Maybe it was that it was
subscription locked and I didn't want to bother. So I don't remember. I remember downloading it because it was supposedly a manga app. And
did you see their April Fool's joke? Inky pin. I got a kick out of this. And I knew immediately the moment I seen that, because I was scrolling through their Twitter going, what the hell is an inky pin? I'm scrolling through there and I seen this picture and I immediately knew it was probably posted on April 1st. Just because I nothing about that makes any sense. My gosh, how far did I scroll down this? Because again, I was trying to figure out what this thing was. Yeah.
True book mode.
You could take your Switch and your other Switch and you could attach them with this attachment that only costs $100 and it will make a huge clamp. It basically makes your two Switches into a Nintendo 3DS and then you can hold it sideways.
Actually kind of cool. Like,
so if you have two Switches, it's a perfect addition. It would have to make them sync though. How does it make them sync?
You can play two daggum.
So you have to buy it twice. You have to have two subscriptions,
yeah,
two Switches, and then you open the same manga on each of them, and then switch one of them over by one page, and then you're synced. And then all you got to do is you got to switch the page on both of them at the same time, and it looks like a book.
Nah,
this is again great.
They apparently communicate really well. I mean, like I said, Mario Party has that. Two games, you put them right next to each other.
Oh, that's
true.
That's true. Yeah, the little game, connecting game stuff. Yeah. I gotcha. Good point. High Dive is beginning to stream the Suruné OVAs on April 29th in English dubs. So if you have been waiting for the OVAs for Suruné in English, April 29th is your day. Mark your calendar. It's coming. Funimation continues its streaming theatrical efforts, which I completely appreciate. I, as much as I give Roberts and Funimation crap, the ongoing joke, this is a cool thing that I really do like, that they are doing this whole move to pull theatrical stuffs in with streaming. Now, they're obviously not leaving them permanently, but I do like this whole idea of them shooting out saying, hey, because I think they did it recently with, I retweeted it, and I've already forgotten which one it was, but they basically... Oh, it was Bunny Girl Senpai, the movie for that, which we totally forgot to watch. They're doing this whole thing where they'll tweet out or whatever, they'll announce out that, hey, by the way, for this week only or this weekend only, but this one, it's 2 weeks starting May 1st, you can watch this movie on Funimation, which I think is totally fantastic because for those, again, like us that don't have access to theaters that actually show anime, this is an option for us to actually be able to watch the movies before we have to wait until they actually physically release them. Then we have to buy a physical release of them. But yes, Funimation is continuing this effort by putting the irregular at Magic High School film.
They're not doing it for us, though. They're doing it because everybody else can't watch them because of COVIDs.
Well, the movie was out quite a while back, though, right? This one? Well, technically, Bunny Girl Senpai was a recent theatrical airing, so... I think it's cool. I know the reason they're doing it is because they were trying to bring, you know, people to the platform, which I think is a really awesome business move.
We can go with that.
Yeah. But yes. Starting May 1st, only for 2 weeks, you can watch the God Hand Man do his stuff in theatrical bliss. I still got to watch that series.
Yeah, it's actually probably a good excuse to go and watch it.
Well, apparently the second season's delayed, so I don't have to rush to watching it just yet. Well, I was waiting for that one.
We have to rush if we're going to watch the movie.
We don't have anything else to do. We might as well watch that. We got to fill the gap somehow. So it might be regular Magic High. We might have to do a full 2-hour podcast about that. See, that's the funny thing is that it does leave the opportunity open for doing some really crazy watches that we kind of just... Like, could you imagine an entire podcast episode about us talking about our rewatch of Crossange?
Hey, we can actually sit down and do that.
We can actually have time to do things. It's like a blessing in disguise. They stay safe. We don't get new shows, but we get to watch all the shows we haven't watched yet or rewatch the shows that we really want to rewatch.
We've been talking about rewatching Crossing for a long time.
Yeah, we can always watch the new the uncensored nippleless episodes of Crossing. It's the weirdest uncensored version ever. Moving on. Fans of Batum, the creator Junya Inoue, Inoue to launch a new series in July on monthly comics at Bunch Magazine reports. It's going to be called Kaiju Jaitai Task Force for Paranormal Disaster Management, or Monster Self-Defense Force for Paranormal Disaster Management. So, again, fans of Batum, be excited for a new manga series coming from your prize creator.
Not excited about anything that he sends out.
I thought you liked Batum.
I did.
Okay.
There was things about it I didn't like.
Oh, the key thing there is the did, Andrew. Did. Cross Infinity World is licensed. Hello, I am a witch, and my crush wants me to make a love potion novels. It's going to be available digitally on June 30th, the first volume. The synopsis is the good witch of the lake's 4-year crush ended in heartbreak with a single request from the object of her affections. Wanting to increase the little time she has with Royal Knight Harridge Rose, sends him on a wild goose chase for the ingredients, but gets more than she bargained for when the grumbling knight starts visiting her every day to feed her? Well, that got weird. This is a heartwarming story of a shut-in witch and an arrogant, straight-laced. This italics are throwing me off so bad. I italicize it so I know it's a synopsis, and it's totally messing me up. Straight-laced knight whose romance starts from a love potion. I don't get the to feed her. Is he actually, like just trying to keep her? I don't know. That got weird. Maybe I'm just looking into it way too much. Moving on. Adult Swim is bringing back Satoshi Kon's Paranoia Agent to TV on April 25th. So if you're watching Adult Swim, look forward to Satoshi Kon's, one of his great, well, technically one of his only TV series that he brought out. It was a really fantastic series. So cool stuff. It's going to be airing at 1 a.m., which just doesn't say the actual location. So it could be 1 a.m. Pacific or it could be 1 a.m. Eastern. It's all a gamble. I'm sure if you start watching Adult Swim, it'll tell you what time.
Just roll the dice and wake up at that time and see if it's on.
Turn on television. Damn, I was wrong. Next week. Dang, I was still wrong. Oh. Anyways, Netflix has begun to stream, or is going to begin streaming, Dorohedoro on May 28th. So look forward to that dropping on Netflix in full glory. And also is going to begin streaming the first two arcs of One Piece on June 12th, thus opening the fandom up to more people with way too much time on their hands. That's a perfect thing to watch right now. Let's finish watching all of One Piece. Yep. I've actually heard that joke already. It's like the new, what do I do? I can't go to work. Let's watch One Piece finally. You wouldn't be able to watch the whole thing in time. It still would take too long. You still don't have enough time to watch One Piece.
You can knock a big chunk of it out, though, I'm sure.
You would. You would, yes. A couple series that are coming to an end. The Devil's a Part-Timer light novel is ending with its 21st volume in summer, as well as Hinamatsuri manga is ending with its 19th volume in summer. So,
why the heck would anybody end Hinamatsuri? This is blasphemous.
The mangaka.
No, this is blasphemous. Tie him down and force him to make more of that.
Didn't we get a second season announcement for that?
I don't think so.
We had something news related with Hinamatsuri recently. I forget what it was. Maybe it was somebody licensing the manga. Maybe that's what it was. Anyways, HBO Max is set to launch on May 27th with an entire Studio Ghibli library of 21 films. So if you've been desperate for some Ghibli action since they removed him from Netflix, it's going to be on HBO Max. Also, apparently, Crunchyroll, Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, and Rooster Teeth are going to be offering content for as well. First one's about the only one I care about, but
this is a really curious one for me. I when I seen this, I was like, what an odd move for any of them to do. So, I mean, and no, it's not their entire.
I see it being a really good move for Crunchyroll. That's actually a very smart move, in my opinion, for Crunchyroll. Because all you got to do is get that. If you at least can get that front splash screen before your show airs. It doesn't matter that HBO is now going to have, say, Tower of God's one of their shows right now that they actually have put money into. So technically, Crunchyroll could take Tower of God and go, sure, have it HBO Max, put on your streaming service. But in the mindset of Crunchyroll, they're like, they're probably filming there at capacity. Like, we're not increasing at all. We need to get our name out there more. We need to bring more people in. What if HBO Max has, when somebody brings up their screen, they scroll through there and suddenly they see Tower of God scene, and they're like, oh, look, this show looks colorful, an animation show. And they hit it, and Crunchyroll's thing pops up on the screen. Crunchyroll! That's all they needed. Like, the HBO Max will stream the entire show. Of course, they're going to have to pay Crunchyroll to air Tower of God on their platform. But the moment that splash screen comes up on that front of that screen, somebody goes, I actually like that show. And they go to the next episode, and then Crunchyroll pops up on the screen again. They go, what the hell is Crunchyroll? Boom. You made a subscription. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think they're thinking. Of course, again, HBO paying them to have Tower of God on their platform, but there's a cross-advertisement that kind of happens.
I don't disagree with you. I'm not saying it was a bad idea. I just was saying it's an odd idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're technically giving content to a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
But they might not see HBO Max as a competitor because HBO Max doesn't have anime. So it's a cross-pollinizing thing instead, I would assume. Just like Funimation putting a lot of their shows, Crunchyroll putting their shows on Adult Swim.
But then again, at the same time, it is odd that they grabbed G Kids and Studio Ghibli and all those others. So take that for what it is. I do, in general, it's just an odd move for a lot of them. It's a consolidation, and yet at the same time, like Andrew was saying, it's a cross-pollination, huh?
Isn't HBO affiliated with Disney?
No.
I thought Disney had Ghibli.
That's what I thought.
Mm.
I'm surprised it's not on Disney Plus.
Have you actually looked at Disney Plus?
No, I haven't.
Does anybody look at Disney Plus? Disney stuck it to Netflix and did their own thing. I wonder how that's working for them right now. That really sucks, because I know a lot of people enjoyed watching Disney shows on Netflix. It's like, I wonder how many they actually got to move over from Netflix to their platform just for their Disney shows. It's unfortunate.
I know a lot of people have it, because there was a lot of people talking about this stupid Baby Yoda, so...
That's what you got out of it, is the Star
Disney
Wars
Plus
thing. They
Baby
signed
Yoda.
Up just for Star Wars. That's exactly what it was. They just signed up just for Star Wars. All right. Moving on, we have...
Well, it's just like Tiger King right now. The world is stopped because of Tiger King. 2 months ago, the world stopped for Baby Yoda.
Wasn't Tiger King like a year ago?
No! The entire world is talking about the stupid Tiger King.
Well, I know, but my point was, like, why are they now talking about him? Years ago, like, the last presidential election. Why is it now that people are talking about him?
I don't know.
Memes. I don't understand him. Although I do like the Aerith with a chair meme, that is actually pretty funny.
Aerith with a what?
In Final Fantasy VII, Aerith takes a chair to somebody, and she's a meme now, where she's like this.
Oh, that, yeah. In the Corneo.
Yeah, Cornelio. Anyways, the voice of Kizuna Ai has finally been revealed. It is Nozomi Kasuga. We've been waiting to find out who this person is, and we finally found out. I'm surprised. Well, I'm not really surprised, but it is insane how much Kizuna Ai has blown up. All to the point of creating a whole company for it, and now apparently getting the big reveal about who Kizuna Ai is. So, there you go. We've all wanted to know who was the person behind the voice. And there you go. We finally found out. Now we can move on, right?
I didn't know we were waiting to find out, but I mean, it's exciting to find out.
No, I would admit there is a curiosity there when you want, because yeah. I admit fully, I spend way too much time watching Japanese virtual idols. There's like a million of them now. It's literally, there is literally, I'm not joking with you by this number, there's literally a million of them now. And
I'm more impressed.
Sometimes going to want to know who's behind the camera.
I'm more impressed by whoever figured this out, because she's only got like three roles and two of them are background characters.
Well, they found out because there's a company now and she's part of the company. And she left the company, apparently, so. Oh.
Well, I just figured somebody asked her and they said, well, yeah, okay. But yeah, I guess.
Well, no, it's one of those things where when they were just doing it out of, like, probably a small home or whatever. And, yeah, that was probably a big thing. Just like with a lot of, like, artists, mangakas, they don't like to, like, their identity actually be known. They don't like pictures taken of themselves. They hide away. With this one is you literally go from that point to the point where you're making a lot of money and you create an industry of other digital idols. Eventually, you're going to be in a boardroom together. Mm-hmm. And there you go. You finally become in the boardroom together. So, yeah, it's just a funny thing to finally actually know. So there you go. Funimation is co-producing anime called Grace of Gods, which is based off a light novel. So, be excited for that. I didn't really find the trailer to be all that interesting. It looks like he got a bunch of slimes, took them home, and then took a hatchet out. I'm assuming he's going to chop up the slimes. I don't know. The synopsis? Do we even have a synopsis for this thing? Under the protection of the gods, a relaxed life with slimes in another world begins. One day, the life of middle-aged Japanese businessman Ryoma Takebayashi came to a rather sudden and disappointing end. Ryoma had never had a blessed life, but after his death, three great gods sought his cooperation and reincarnated him as a child in another world with sword and magic. Receiving a most cordial and divine welcome from the gods, Ryoma decides to live leisurely on his own in the forest for the time being, working diligently at the magic and magic and hunting. Ryoma's greatest passion comes to be researching his tame slimes, training a variety of slimes, some newly discovered. The curtain rises on this easygoing life of fantasy, collaborating a second life with kind people in another world. It's a very long and
does it
boring,
feel like a, you
boring
see, does it feel like Yoshike in the...
Yeah, that's all I can think of, because like I said, that was a very boring thing to read, so that usually means it's going to be an Yashike, which is not a bad thing, just means that it's not very interesting to read a synopsis on something that's Yashike. We'll see. Series! Oh, I already said that one. The SRB and PEGI as descriptors to games to notify game purchasers for loot boxes. I don't really find this to being at all a fix, because a lot of big companies are in the pocket of ESRB, so they'll probably just post them without that warning, and then they'll just patch them in later, so I don't see how that's going to fix anything. But, yeah, now your ratings that people don't go by because they still buy mature stuff for their kids is now going to say that it has in-game purchases and random items. So, it... opinions?
It's a skirt around the issue. Really is. It's, yeah, I mean, the problem is not the fact that it's not, because what they're doing is they're, hey, we told you this is what's in the game, so therefore we're
you can't complain.
Yeah, you can't complain. That doesn't fix the problem.
Well, that's the whole problem with the SRB to begin with. It's supposed to be the gaming industry self-governing itself to warn people. And half the time, it never really ever is followed, so it doesn't really matter. It's just really the gaming industry trying to keep the government from handling it. It really is all it is. All right. You have a piece of news. What do you have, Chris?
Oh, I just bumped into a thing. One of the news articles had mentioned that Nintendo had gotten their servers breached and 160,000 accounts since the start of April kind of got compromised. And I was like, oh, wow. Because I like my Nintendo. So I don't think I've gotten any. You'll get an email that tells you that you got your account was accessed by a separate another place, and so just like any other service will do that. But one of the things that it does mention is that none of the actual financial information was messed with, but it did mention that the people who were affected, their what was it? I wrote it down. Your personal information.
Nickname, date of birth, country, region, email address.
Real name and gender.
And if it was through NNID, your real name and gender as well.
And they're suggesting.
Somebody's going to know if I'm a guy. I'm screwed.
It did mention that it suggests that you change your password, and especially if you've been, if you have been compromised. The only way that you'll be able to stop your account trying to be accessed is to honestly set up the two-factor verification. It suggests doing that for everybody, but especially for you to get it to stop trying to access your account, you have to do the two-factor.
Yeah, I think the thing that some people were saying is that it's not necessarily being notified that you are compromised. It's just that's the normal notifications that they do give most. It's a default thing. If it, you know, 2 months from now or 2 months ago, if somebody tried to access your account from, say, overseas, it would tell you that, hey, this is a different location that you're accessing. This is correct. The problem now is that there's so many of them that have been, the 160,000 have been stolen, you might not get a notification. So the idea is that you should probably go just change it now to all together, and then again add the 2 point or the 2 point authentication just to be safe. So, yeah. Fun stuff. So, you mad at Nintendo now? Everybody gets mad at companies whenever they actually have hackings, which is kind of technically a normal thing in the world.
I don't see a reason to get upset at them. So,
oh, there you go. There you go. Cannot do wrong. Cannot do wrong. All right, that's all the news that seemed important to us. So, it should be important to you because it's important to us.
Shoot, even my account at Blizzard got hacked, and I didn't get mad at Blizzard. I mean,
the Sony thing was pretty bad when I was involved with the Sony thing.
Well, that's how most of my information got out on the dark web. I know my information is out on
everybody's information on the dark web. No matter if you access, no matter what platform you access, your information's out there. A bank's going to give it to them. Are they going to get it from a bank? They're going to get it from a loan company. They're going to get it from a school. It's all out there. So I've given up caring.
Yeah.
There's things in place for most companies that'll protect you, so.
Oh. At least not the and if you information try, that I care about is not out there, but yeah.
Right. If you try to get rid of it, it's just going to get put back on there. Who cares? You can't get rid of it.
How do you get rid of stuff off of the dark web? That would be nice.
You go to the dark web and you go Control-Alt-Delete.
God, there you go.
Well, it's like all these companies that make so much money doing the whole will protect your stuff on the internet. So it's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're not going to be able to protect it. Just
no, actually, something that I think all they really get do
feared into paying into because they think that they have to have some company, quote unquote, keep their information off the internet.
I don't think that they're keeping it off the internet. I think
they're not doing is that's why I'm saying it's a scam.
All they're doing is doing the litigation afterwards. That's all they really are, they can do.
Yeah.
If they randomly go and steal $1 million from you, you have somebody who can go, okay, they're not responsible for the $1 million. That's all they're going to do.
Hopefully they'll actually do that. Yes. It's just like insurance companies. Hopefully your insurance company's going to cover you. They're supposed to. We'll see if they actually do when it actually happens. So yeah, moving on to our community, we have some community questions from, well, technically, we have a few from internet, or from the internet. We have a few from the internets that we're bringing in here, downloading.
They were them. Probably from the dark web, too.
The emails have been coming in.
That name does sound kind of dark web-ish.
Yeah.
It just needs an XX Darth Arcus.
We'll have them send us mystery dark web boxes. That seems to be a big hit on YouTube lately. Yeah. So yeah, you can go to the web. this is really messing me up. You can go to the dark web to otakuspirit.com
and go to the forum. That's where we hang out, is out on the dark web, obviously. Dark web,
otakuspirit.com. Go to the link up there, the forum link.
That's how we know that our information is out on the dark web, because we go there all the time.
This is hosted on the dark web too, so you're accessing it every time you download this podcast. So anyways, you know the form link at the top. You can leave us a question there in the AnimeCast question threads, or you can go to the email, andrew@talkingspear.com. You can go to our contact us button at the top at talkingspear.com. That's usually how most people do via email. It does it for you. Like Havoc. Havoc sent us a question in our contact us button. It says, hi guys, I'm from Queensland, Australia, and I have been listening for a couple months now, and just wanted to say that you are really informative and enjoyable to listen to. Question, with the vast amount of anime coming out seeming to increase each year, this did not age well, do you think we will start to see a decrease in overall quality, hence more releases suffering from underwatching, as there is just too much to watch? Thanks, Havoc. P.S. Your taste in anime isn't all bad. Thank you, Havoc.
See, we have proof now. Now our taste doesn't
suck. I'm going to frame that comment and put it on my wall. And when everybody makes fun of me, I'll say, look what Havoc said. Yeah, thanks for the kind words. Love all of our listeners from Australia. A lot of people that I talk to on the internet that are from Australia are always cool people. So good folks down there. But yeah, the question, again, like I said, I joked about, didn't really age well, but putting aside the pandemic issue causing delays, the biggest thing that I think we kind of seen over the last couple years is, I don't think it necessarily is affecting the anime industry. They're not big money makers. It affects them in the idea that, you know, everybody yells about how animators don't make that much money, and that's because a lot of this stuff doesn't make much money. The studio is paid by a group or by a production committee that is giving them money. A record label is giving them money to make the anime. The studio itself doesn't make much money, and then they kind of move on. And then the production committee makes a fortune, and the record industry makes a bunch of fortune selling CDs or selling memorabilia or stage plays, all that kind of stuff. As for anime in general, what we kind of seen over the last couple of years is that there was some talks about some studios outsourcing to China. There was a lot of China animation being done for a lot of shows. You've seen a lot of cases about shows that were just not really having very good quality to them, having a lot of messed up episodes. It really is a case-by-case basis with a lot of these companies and a lot of these studios. Some of them are outsourcing. Some of them are seeing not much money made from it, but they're still able to manage. All in all, in the end, it's not changing too much just because it's never been much of a moneymaker to begin with. The moneymakers has been the manga. It's been the production committee is making money off of CDs, making money off of the your weird... The only ones that are actually making a lot of money are kind of those oddballs like Kyoto Animation. It's Ufotable. They're getting a lot of money from the companies themselves, or they're making brand names for themselves altogether. It's Studio Kara from Evangelion with all the money they made off of that one. It's that hope that the originals that they actually make are successful and they make money off of that. But there's no real way for them to make money in general, based on the fact that they don't really own the property to actually make the money from it. So I was all over the place with that, but your opinions?
My feelings more along the lines of, I do think that there's going to have to be a reshuffle at some point. I don't know how it's going to show itself. If you look across across time, there's always a point in which something will happen that will reallocate things. And I do think that there is a glut of anime. I don't particularly think that there's a lack of quality per se. I think that there is a glut of anime. In general, there's just too much. And at some point, they're going to have to shift the way they do that. And yes, at some point, there is going to be a quality problem. All they're going to do is just shift the way that they handle the quality problem. And at some point, I hope, because I do hear a lot of, I've been hearing it for years from different podcasts. I haven't been listening to podcasts in a while, so if people have stopped saying it, so be it. But everybody was going on and on and on about the anime bubble. I don't see this as the anime bubble. I seen an anime bubble. I lived through an anime bubble. I do know how that felt. And that one was very different than what we're seeing today.
Yeah, yes. Because back then it was a lot of original shows. They were trying to make money off the show they made. The problem is that right now, technically, 99.9% of shows that you have in a year, they're all commercials. And they're paid for commercials. So how can a commercial fail?
Yeah, it's true.
If the only way a commercial can fail is if they pay into a commercial, the commercial doesn't bring money to what they're advertising, and then they don't go to that studio again.
Yeah.
But the reason why there was a bubble way back in the day was you're talking about the Western bubble or the Japanese bubble?
Japanese. Well,
but you had a lot of money going into it.
I mean, there was just so much. And what was happening was they were dumping so much money into, because basically the anime production companies were sold a bill of goods. Hey, we'll take all of this over to the Western. You give us lots of money and we will give it out to everybody. They were flush with money.
Yeah, with saturation.
There was way too much. And then the Japanese companies were going, okay, time to collect. Where is the money that you guys were promising me that you were going to be making me tons and tons of money? I'm not seeing it. And they cut them off.
Yeah.
And that was death to the anime industry as a whole. That's what I'm saying is that was the reshuffle point. Then you got the torrent day, or the pretty much where we started downloading everything, and then the torrents came, and then Crunchyroll's first start into what they were doing, and then eventually we got back in, and now we are here. And I do see a couple of problem areas, but it's not the same kind of problems. So to say that, to imply that we're going to have another anime bubble, I don't see that. I see some people doing things differently than they should. That's my opinion. I'm not their company. But at the same time, I don't see the anime bubble. Different animals.
Yeah, I think that's, it's really important to kind of look at it from two different perspectives, is from the Japanese point of view and the Western point of view, is the supply chain. I don't really see it having any kind of issues, just because they are technically making money. You do see a lot of these companies in the West are now investing into making their own stuff because they want to get more money from the stuff. Now, is that a sign that they are not making enough money? It could be. It could be the fact that Funimation is technically working with Aniplex, and Aniplex is working with Aniplex Japan. Are they getting more money into that business so that they can possibly get their brand name more recognition in the Western audience, saying, whoa, look, we actually make our own stuff. You're already making your own stuff because it's Sony and Aniplex. But you have Crunchyroll as well doing that. Are they doing that? Are they getting into production companies over there because they are that passionate about wanting to get the one thing adapted they want so bad? No, they're doing that possibly for name recognition, or maybe they want more brand hold of that product. And
well, they stepped their toe in what, 2-3 years ago with Dimension W.
Funimation. I mean,
they were goofing off with the idea for a long time.
Yeah.
Now they're actually in the production companies. Doesn't bother me.
But again, like I said, from a Japanese perspective, I don't think the possibility of a bubble exists there, just because, like I said, that would assume that there is stakes at hand with the anime that's making. And again, anime, whether we like it or not, and I don't like it with a lot of shows that do leave that see you in the manga statement at the end of it, basically, is they are glorified commercials. That's why we only get one seasons of everything, is because the production committee said, hey, we have this manga, we want to get more recognition to it, make this anime out of it. And then everybody goes, oh crap, I want to read that manga, and then the manga sales shoot up. Or it's, you know, Princess Reconnect. They want to get the app to have more recognition, so let's make an anime out of it, and then we'll get people to come over and download the app because the anime was so great. Magiar Record was an advertisement for the mobile game. People go over there and they play the mobile game now. Fake Grand Order, it's an advertisement for Fake Grand Order, the mobile game. So it's, again, like it's like saying that, is there going to be a commercial bubble? Well, the commercials still air between each break of the show. It's still doing its job of telling people to go buy this product. So I don't see that ever having an issue. Now, will there be issues where companies may see that anime doesn't advertise their manga as well, and they may stop paying into having, say, a company goes, hey, this manga is fantastic, let's get an anime made for it. And they go and they pay into a studio and a production committee. They get a record label in play and they say, hey, come pay in for this for us so we can get an anime for this manga. And then they pay into it and the anime is terrible or it doesn't bring money back to the manga. Technically that publisher might go, look, that didn't work out for us last time we made an anime for our mangas. Let's not do that anymore. I don't necessarily see that happening just because it seems like a formula has worked for so long. Now, that oversaturation might cause that problem eventually where they go, look, we made an adaptation, it didn't work out. Let's not do that no more. It's just, I don't see it quite yet.
If it were even possible, you might have just made me hate anime. Why? I hate commercials.
Especially right now. Commercials are terrible. That was a good question, though. Thanks, Savick. That was a fantastic question. I think that's one I think we've kind of discussed a few times with the anime bubble, but I
don't think we've ever hit it from that angle.
Yeah, I don't usually hit it from the angle that it's technically an advertisement, which does technically change your perspective a little bit. So, yeah, cool stuff. Again, thanks for the kind words, and thanks for acknowledging that not all of our tastes are bad. I just recognize the glass half empty side of that statement. So I'll let it slide this time.
I see the glass half full. I think he was giving us a huge amount of praise.
Yeah. Last one we have is Bacon Chips says, hey guys, I'm wondering who are some of your favorite character designs in anime? If I had to say, some of mine were Violet Evergarden, Isla from Plastic Memories, Aqua from Konosuba, Kana from Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, and Suyu Asui from My Hero Academia. How do they make a frog cute? Also, to answer your question about my Natsuki tattoo from Doki Doki Literature Club, it's nothing freaky. Just a normal picture of her holding a cat cupcake. Artist did a really great job. I'm glad to know that it wasn't of other scenes. The saga continues of Bacon Chips tattoos.
What I absolutely love Asui. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Ochako, but I absolutely, I've always loved her. She, there's just something about her that is just so adorable.
Yeah, I'm team Ochako, sorry.
Yeah, Ochako is just absolute moe bait. I mean, I love her, but I'm sorry.
My mind immediately went to character designers. Ranger Murata is, of course, always Ranger Murata is always my top pick for character designs. Unfortunately, most of the animes don't capture his artistry really that well, but I still think he's my favorite character designer of all time. So if you look at Ranger Murata, that's exactly the artwork that I just absolutely love. Shinichiro Otsuka, who of course did ReZero, as well as Granbelm and Conception, which weren't as great, but I seem to be drawn to his artistry. Seems to be pretty solid. Akio Watanabe, of course, is an easy one, who did a lot of the Monogatari series. Mako,
I think he's one of mine, if I remember right, because he does the he did the
Monogatari series.
He did the Monogatari. He also did a couple of other shows that I every time he pointed out, I'm like, well, okay, obviously, that's why I like it.
Yeah, I think you did that Zodiac one that you liked. The, what was that called? The one that was like all CGI whenever they went to the Zodiac cat game thingy-majiggy.
It was like Tama something.
Yeah. Mako Hosoi, who did 22/7, yeah, whatever it was. Grimgar Fantasy and Ash, Shogun Roku. I really did enjoy Grimgar Fantasy and Ash, especially a lot of character designs. Then I realized that they also did Shogun Roku Rakushinji, which is way different, and I was very impressed to know that that was the same person. So that's fantastic. That was another one just popping my head a little bit ago, and then just jump right back out.
My big one, and I wish I could think of his name. I never know his name off the top of my head. It's always one of those that I have to go and look it up over and over again. But he did the Kofuku. He did the kite. If you guys, you right away, you guys are probably getting a picture of who I'm talking about, because there he has the same artwork across all of it. A lot of his stuff looks absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, I really love it.
Hinako, that's the other one I was thinking of.
And One Room.
Yeah.
Love his art style.
Now, that's the one I thought you were talking about with the Monogatari series.
Hmm. Now it's Akio Watanabe. Kentoku. Right? Yeah. Every time I see anything done by Kentoku, it's like, hey, that's the Hinako person. So, yeah, Hinako, One Room. Apparently did the English name, Gorokawa. I really wanted to watch Gorokawa just because I assumed that it was his artwork, so. Apparently did Sakura Fujinuma from 22/7 as well. Very interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. Really cool. What?
I was going to have you look up the name of my artist real quick.
Oh.
It's actually in our stupid Google Drive, because I've got an entire podcast dedicated to
it. Yeah, that would take entirely too long. Yasumi Umetsu?
That sounds like his name. Dimension W, yeah.
That's the problem with there's some of these shows that has like more than one. Just like 22/7, there's a character designer for each character.
Yeah. Umetsu Yasumi. He's pretty much my favorite character designer of all time, so I have yet to have anybody who's really edged him out. I really, really like his artwork. Yeah, Cool Devices. Yeah, that's him.
Dynamic Chord. But Dynamic Chord, Chris. Kukuku. Megazone 23. I have a remastering HD version of that coming here soon, so we can watch that. Mezzoforte. Yep. Robot Carnival. We have that. Wizard Barristers, that was the other one.
Wizard Barristers, yeah. I'm surprised that Kofuku hasn't popped up on that list.
Kofuku?
Yeah.
Kofuku was Akio. Kofuku Graffiti?
No.
Kokoku?
Kokoku.
That was in the list.
Okay.
Now, I guess to go on more of the, not my list of absolute, like I said, Rinji Murata, no matter what, is top one for me. And yeah, I technically listed off a bunch of ones that are probably the most popular character designers out there. Oddball ones, I would have to say that I don't really know who actually done them, but Eccentric Family, love the creativity there. Maiden Abyss, a lot of that stuff's very unique and cool in its own right.
I like the character designs in No Game, No Life.
Yeah. I'm partial. Impartial on that one. Kyoto Animation. There's two sisters, I believe, that do a lot of the newer stuff for the Kyoto Animation. I absolutely love their work. Well, again, that's another easy one. Anything Kyoto Animation is going to be just either gorgeous or absolutely moe perfection. A lot of the stuff that Dogokobo is doing right now, I really need to get down and start drilling into Dogokobo. Look to see if there's any kind of namesake people that are working there that possibly do a lot of their work. I'm curious if there's certain character designers that are frequent with them, because it seems like they have their own unique style to their own as well. Not always as prevalent as something like Kyoto Animation that seems to have a quote-unquote, just to give it to some people that say it, the samey face to them. I love to kind of see what they're really doing with that stuff, so Claymore had a lot of really cool stuff in that, very unique. 91 Days, same person that did another one here recently. I really do like her unique design. Or I think it's a her. I think it's her. Yeah. Anything else?
Not that I can think of. The only other one would be the one who. But see, then you're going into mangakas and stuff. It's really kind of weird. But I do like the mangaka for.
Inside Marty.
Well, yeah, that, but that was really into the mangaka. I was thinking of Full Metal Alchemist because a lot of her character artwork is pretty well done. But like I said, then you're technically going into mangakas. Then you can go into the Inside Mari and all that stuff. And yeah, I've got a few of them that I do like on that side. So,
yep. All right. That's it for this discussional podcast episode. We have one more question from Blue Spark. We'll get to you next time. It's a very controversial question, so look forward to that. Blue Spark bring in the controversial questions that are going to possibly cause a huge divide in our community, which is very heartbreaking, but look forward to that in the next discussional podcast
episode. Blue Spark, you can't do all that.
But yes, again, we hope you guys enjoyed this discussional podcast episode. Talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community and answer some great questions for our community members. Please submit new ones so that we can continue on to have more questions. Otherwise, we'll have to wing it like with this episode and talk about things extensively like we make sense and talk in circles. I'm just kidding. Hope everybody stays safe out there. Stay safe.
Maybe they were doing it on purpose.
What?
Maybe they were holding off so that we would come up with random weird stuff to talk about.
That's true.
I doubt it.
Or talk way too.
We suck about at that, by the way.
Yeah, very bad at going off the cuff. Very bad.
We'd much rather talk about stuff you guys want us to talk about. It's kind of better that way.
Call to action, though. If anybody out there has any opinions on our discussion about, you know, our possible plans at the onset that we do have an issue with the season continuing on. If anybody has any opinions based on our conversation about that, definitely let us know. We always appreciate feedback. What people want is, you know, definitely does play into what we'd like to provide. We don't always go with every suggestion just because, again, this is technically a hobby and we do have limited time and we want to do things that we both enjoy but that people will enjoy. So it's a kind of a give and take there, but again, we hope you guys enjoyed. Again, stay safe out there, and y'all take care.
Oos.